Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
Well, Leah, today we are not traveling very far. We are staying right here in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the District. And we are profiling a woman whose legacy is permanently etched into the history of this city and the history of the entire American civil rights movement. We are talking about the district's delegate, Democrat Eleanor Holmes Norton.
Stephen, this is such a timely profile because we are looking at the end of an absolute era in Washington politics. Just last month, in late January 2026, Eleanor Holmes Norton officially announced her retirement. She is 88 years old. She is currently the oldest member of the House, and she has been the sole voice for D.C. residents in Congress for 35 years. When her term ends in January 2027, it will close the book on one of the most fascinating political careers of the last century.
It really will. And to understand her impact, you have to look at what she did before she ever ran for Congress. Eleanor Holmes Norton is a living legend of the 1960s civil rights movement. She went to Antioch College and then Yale Law School. She was organizing for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. She worked directly with Bayard Rustin, the legendary civil rights organizer. In fact, she just introduced a bill this month to get him a commemorative postal stamp. And in 1977, President Jimmy Carter appointed her as the very first woman to chair the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She essentially helped write the modern rulebook for anti-discrimination in the American workplace.
So when she was elected to Congress in 1990, she brought this massive legal and activist pedigree with her. But she stepped into one of the most frustrating jobs in American politics, non-voting delegate. Because Washington, D.C. is not a state, the Constitution does not allow its representative to cast a final vote on the House floor. She can't vote yes or no on the final passage of a law.
Which sounds incredibly limiting, but she found a way to maximize her power anyway.
Exactly. She realized very early on that the real work of Congress happens in committee rooms, not on the floor. And delegates Carmel allowed to vote in their committees. So she entrenched herself in the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. She currently serves as the ranking member of the Highways and Transit Subcommittee. Through that role, she has directed billions of dollars toward D.C.'s metro system, bridges, and local development. She also authored the D.C. Tuition Assistance Grant Program, which is a massive deal. It allows high school graduates from D.C. to attend any public university in the United States and pay in-state tuition. She basically created a national university system for D.C. kids.
But her defining crusade, the issue that her entire congressional career will be remembered for, is D.C. statehood. She introduces H.R. 51, the Washington, D.C. Admission Act, in every single Congress. Her argument is a fundamental question of civil rights. You have 700,000 American citizens living in D.C. They pay federal taxes. In fact, they pay more federal taxes per capita than any state in the Union. They serve in the military. They die in foreign wars. But they have no senators and no final vote in the House. She calls it the ultimate case of taxation without representation.
And H.R. 51 is actually a very clever piece of legislation. It gets around the constitutional issue by shrinking the federal district. Under her bill, the official capital would be reduced to just the White House, the Capitol building, the Supreme Court, and the monuments on the Mall. Everything else, all the residential neighborhoods, the restaurants, the local businesses, would become the 51st state called Washington Douglas Commonwealth, named after Frederick Douglass.
And this brings us to her final term in the 119th Congress. It is a very tense time for the district. With the new Trump administration in the White House, there has been a very aggressive push to pull back D.C.'s home rule. We have seen the deployment of federal immigration officers and National Guard troops into the city. Congress has been actively trying to repeal local D.C. laws, like the recent disapproval resolution aimed at the city's child tax credit. Norton has spent the last year fighting tooth and nail to protect the city's autonomy against federal intervention.
She has always been incredibly protective of local control. Her supporters call her the warrior on the hill. And now that she has announced her retirement, it has kicked off what is going to be a wild Democratic primary in June of 2026. Because whoever wins that primary is essentially guaranteed to be the next delegate for D.C. taking over a seat that hasn't been opened since 1990.
It is the end of an era. The civil rights icon who became the voice of the Capitol.
The relentless champion for the 51st state.
That is Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. That is our profile for the District of Columbia. Stay tuned for our next profile. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.